Hello, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is an audio version of a book review that I have written. The book under review is by Paul D. Wegner. It was titled A Student's Guide to Textual Criticism of the Bible, subtitled Its History, Methods, and Results. And this was published by InterVarsity Press in 2006. And it is 334 pages in length. My written review first appeared in the Evangelical Forum newsletter, Volume 6, Number 2, in 2009, and can be found there on pages 37 through 40. Let's begin now the review. Wegner is professor of Old Testament at Phoenix Seminary in Phoenix, Arizona. This volume is a helpful scholarly introduction to the current state of academic textual criticism from an evangelical perspective. It is also unique in that it combines an introduction to textual study of both the Old and New Testaments in one convenient volume. Wegner's commitment to so-called reasoned eclecticism, however, raises some foundational questions about the approach not only of this book, but of the practice of textual criticism among evangelical scholars. Summary. The content of the book is divided into four parts. Part one is introductory material found on pages 21 to 86. Wegner begins by defining textual criticism as, quote, the science and the art that seeks to determine the most reliable wording of a text, end quote, page 24. The goal of Old Testament textual criticism is, quote, to determine the final authoritative form, which was then maintained by the scribes and was later recorded in the canon, end quote, page 37. The goal of New Testament textual criticism is, quote, to determine the most plausible original reading out of a larger body of evidence, end quote, page 41. Wegner reviews various transmissional errors reflecting both unintentional changes such as haplography and dittography, etc., and intentional changes. Finally, he provides an overview of the transmission of the text of Scripture, distinguishing between the way in which the Old Testament was transmitted by careful scribes over a long period of time, whereas the New Testament, quote, often lacked much of the care and precision that the Old Testament received, end quote, largely due to persecution of the early church. See page 79. Part two is Old Testament textual criticism, found on pages 87 to 204. Wegner begins with the observation that, quote, until the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest extant Hebrew manuscripts of any significant portion of the Old Testament was from the 9th century AD, end quote, page 89. Despite the Dead Sea Scrolls giving evidence of various textual traditions in the Hebrew Bible, quote, most scholars today have abandoned any attempt to develop an eclectic Hebrew text, combining the best readings from each Hebrew manuscript, similar to the United Bible Society's texts of the New Testament, end quote, page 103. Old Testament textual critics have, quote, considered it preferable to choose a particular extant manuscript of the Old Testament, a textus receptus, and add a textual apparatus, noting where the text differs from other readings. The assumption is that it is better to produce a known form of the Old Testament than to attempt a hypothetical eclectic text that may have never existed, end quote, page 104. He proceeds to offer a helpful summary of the various modern diplomatic editions of the Hebrew Bible, including the Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia, used by most college and seminary students. Wegner's explanation of the BHS apparatus is particularly useful for students. Another beneficial feature of this section is a clear explanation of the various sources for Old Testament textual criticism, from the silver amulets to various manuscripts and modern printed editions. Part three is New Testament textual criticism, found on pages 205 to 266. Wegner begins by tracing textual criticism from the Church Fathers to the Vulgate to the printed editions of the Textus Receptus in the Reformation era to the overthrow of the traditional text in modern critical editions of the Greek text. Whereas Old Testament scholars prefer a diplomatic text, New Testament scholars have come to prefer an eclectic text. Wegner also provides a useful explanation of the apparatus found in modern editions of the Greek text, the Nestle-Aland and the UBS editions used by students. He also offers biographical sketches of key figures in textual critical scholarship, from Jerome to Erasmus to Westcott and Hort, and various sources in New Testament textual criticism, from early papyri to the famous Uncials, Sinaiticus, and Vaticanus. Finally, part four is Additional Ancient Versions for Old Testament and New Testament Textual Criticism, found on pages 267 to 301. This concluding section offers a summary of the various ancient versions of the biblical text, such as the Syriac, the Latin, etc. The book ends with Wegner's conclusion that textual criticism is, quote, crucial, end quote, to establishing, quote, the reliability of the text, end quote. See pages 298 and 301. Let's move on to evaluation and reflection. This work is a helpful introduction to the history, sources, methods, and practice of textual criticism of the Bible, Old and New Testaments. Wegner has made many technical issues clear and understandable. There is some repetition, for example, explaining the same concept, scholar, or manuscripts in both the Old Testament and New Testament sections, but this causes no great distraction. The book is also filled with many useful illustrations, graphs, and photographs. There are two foundational problems, however, that emerge from the book. The first relates to Wegner's definition of textual criticism as science and art. Another key consideration is omitted in this definition, namely, textual criticism as theology or doctrine. Indeed, this is a key element missing in the entire study. There is no sustained presentation of how one's doctrine of Scripture affects one's view of the text of Scripture. There is no discussion of the doctrine of the preservation of Scripture and how this impacts one's view of the transmission of the text. Nor is there discussion of issues touching this topic like inerrancy, infallibility, sufficiency, and canonicity. Along these lines, there is little discussion of the role of the church in determining the text of Scripture, aside from a brief section near the end titled, When Should I Use Textual Criticism, on page 254. Here, Wegner asks if textual matters should be addressed from the pulpit or in the Sunday school class. Quote, is the modern church able to deal with this issue, end quote, page 254. He advises, quote, it is best to keep the discussion short and to the point, dealing carefully with the issue so as not to undermine people's belief in the Bible or even the translation they're used to, end quote, page 254. He also proceeds to offer his pious readers this reassurance that has been around since the days of Bengel. Quote, it is crucial to remind people that most variants are insignificant and that no doctrine hinges on a variant text, end quote, page 254. The question remains, however, if such a dismissal of doctrinal concern in textual matters is appropriate. Does it not have ramifications for the understanding of the canon and nature of Scripture? From Wegner's perspective, one might think that the determination of the proper text of Scripture is a purely atheological venture in the domain of the academics and not faithful churchmen. The second foundational issue relates to Wegner's understanding of the goal of textual criticism. He opens his book by saying that students often ask, quote, is the Bible we have today accurate, end quote, page 19. A few pages later, he writes, quote, the job of the textual critic is very similar to that of a detective searching for clues as to the original reading of the text, end quote, page 23. He also describes it as, quote, the process of searching through the various sources of the biblical text to determine the most accurate or reliable reading of a particular passage, end quote, page 24. Later he adds, quote, Since no autographs are available today of either the Old or New Testaments, the general task of the text critic is to get back as close as possible to those autographs, end quote, page 29. Indeed, Wegner sees the role of the text critic as a restoration of the lost, quote, original reading of the text, end quote, the autograph, through the science and art, but not theology, of textual criticism. In this approach, Wegner reflects the typical view of the evangelical scholar who has embraced the perspective of modern academic study of biblical texts. These follow, whether wittingly or unwittingly, in the train of Westcott and Hort, who had the audacity to title their influential 1881 edition of the Greek New Testament, the New Testament in the original Greek. Wegner himself makes the point that Kurt and Barbara Aland consider their eclectic text of the New Testament as the original text, and have thus opened themselves up to the charge of circular reasoning when they reject competing readings as secondary to their own. See page 220. The problem with the evangelical embrace of this view, often in the name of finding the inerrant original autograph, something Wegner, however, does not do, is that it is now considered outdated in the academy. The evangelical view of textual criticism is, in fact, in line with the 19th and 20th century academy and not the 21st century academy. As Wegner points out, cutting-edge textual criticism, reflected in the writings of men like Bart Ehrman and David Parker, have abandoned any notion of finding an authoritative original text. On one hand, Wegner acknowledges the reality of this shift. In its discussion of the goal of Old Testament textual criticism, for example, he states, quote, "It was once thought possible to recover the ipsissima verba, the actual words of the inspired writer, and that these were the original autographs of Scripture. However, today, most scholars recognize that it is impossible to trace the formation of any of the Old Testament books, and that most have undergone later modifications," end quote, pages 29 and 30. Turning to the New Testament, he acknowledges that, quote, "The traditional goal of New Testament textual criticism is to recover the text of the autographs, has been questioned significantly by recent scholars," end quote, page 37. Indeed, the most influential modern textual scholars argue that Scripture or Scriptures should not be viewed as a fixed text, but as a moving stream or living text. See page 39. Nevertheless, Wegner remains committed to the old school search for the original text. Quote, "A plausible goal for New Testament textual criticism is the recovery of the original readings of the text, or in some cases, it may be necessary to identify the earliest possible readings," end quote, page 39. The same old problem emerges for those who make this their aim, however. Although they feel that they can offer a near approximation of the original reading, they cannot do so with absolute certainty. There is a marked crisis of confidence in knowing what the text of Scripture actually is. We see this in comments Wegner makes like these, and in the written version, I have added emphasis, putting some of these phrases in bold. But here are some of Wegner's comments. On page 39, he says, "While questions as to the original text surface in some places, a substantial amount of the New Testament text remains unquestioned and most likely represents the original autographs or very close to it." Also on page 39, he writes, "It may not always be possible to know for certain that we have the original reading. But remember, there's only about 6% of the Greek text that is in question." On page 41, he writes, "Therefore, the goal of New Testament textual criticism is to determine the most plausible original reading out of a larger body of evidence." And on page 301, he writes, "Careful examination of these manuscripts has served to strengthen our assurance that our modern Greek and Hebrew critical texts are very close to the original autographs, even though we do not have those autographs." With statements such as these, we must conclude that Wegner would answer his students who ask, how accurate is the biblical text without absolute certainty? The best he and other evangelical textual critics who have embraced this view might answer is that we might well have a close approximation of the original text of Scripture in the modern critical text, but we cannot be absolutely certain. Will this response offer the student assurance concerning the reliability and authority of Scripture, or alarm? What if, instead of the nebulous answer of the evangelical textual critic, the student received this response? Yes, God has faithfully preserved his word in the Masoretic text of the Old Testament and the received text of the New Testament, as they have been faithfully used by the church from ancient times. This brings this review to an end. You can receive audiobook reviews and notes like this one, Word Magazine podcasts, and sermons by subscribing to Christ Reformed Baptist Church's sermon audio feed on iTunes by searching for Christ Reformed Baptist Church. For video material, you can subscribe to the Word Magazine channel on YouTube.com. You can also find written book reviews, book notes, and articles like this one on my blog at jeffriddle.net.